Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to Cal Bannon's Hypnosis, Etc. I'm L. Ron Ferguson. Cal's in the other room, but he asked me to start it off, so let's start it off with a bang. If you're watching this anywhere but CalBannon.com, you want to take a look right below, because we have all sorts of other goodies and text and links and descriptions that are going to make this viewing presentation a lot more beneficial to you. Let me tell you a little bit about Cal. If you guys don't know who Cal is, the wow to the bow. Bow, wow, you know, the wow, get it? Cal is one of the greatest living hypnotherapists alive today.
You're cracking me up, Alan.
Oh, my God. Don't laugh at me. You can make fun of me later. I'm in the middle of this. Let me finish.
Okay.
Cal is a great hypnotherapist. He taught me just about everything I know about hypnosis. He also has quite a sense of humor. And if I ever want to have a good laugh, I just think about Cal. But sometimes if I want to feel afraid, then I think about Cal too. So it's kind of like this internal conflict I have going on. He taught me everything I know about hypnosis. He synthesized 5-path and 7-path. We have a great center here where we teach classes. If you want to learn, talk to us, call us up. We'll teach you everything that you need to know to be great. Because there's a difference between good and great. Isn't that right, Cal?
Absolutely. You're good and I'm great. Hey, let me joke around here.
I'm the discount hypnotist at the office, isn't that right?
You know what? We joke around a lot here, but I have the greatest respect for L. Ron. That's why we can kind of goof off a little bit. That's why we are in class sometimes, just kind of having a good time, because, you know, we're comfortable with the material, we're comfortable with the message we want to get across, and, you know, learning is more fun when you're having fun. I mean, how obvious is that? So let me just tell you a quick little bit or two about L. Ron. He works at our center. He helps me teach a little bit of my courses. And he really knows what's going on. Very, very dedicated to the art, the science, and the profession. All right. Boy, we managed to get through that. Only took us about forever.
It did not.
Okay.
That took me 1 minute.
Hey, you know what happened? Is 10 seconds before we went on, I said, L. Ron, you started off. Because Meredith does that, and I figured, you know, but L. Ron can do that too. All right, so what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we're still talking about controversy, as always. And we're going to do a bunch of little short ones. And the previous two episodes, we've had topics that have taken up more time and attention. We just, you know, we can talk about those things forever. These little things, I think that we can wrap up relatively quickly. To offer a little disclaimer before we dive into things, I just want to let you know we have the right to change our opinion, our minds at any time on these topics. Our intent is to open up the can of worms, present some pros and cons, give some conclusions of our thoughts of the day on the subject, and basically open up the can of worms. As I previously mentioned, we're not doctors, we're not lawyers, we don't claim to have the last word, although I do privately within my own mind. But right now, why don't we start off with the semi-controversial topic of, should hypnotists offer their clients incentives for referrals?
Exactly what do you mean by incentives?
I mean offer them maybe special gifts, maybe money, maybe favors. I don't know. The list could go on. I mean, anything that's an incentive that would incentivize somebody to action. Usually an incentive is something that you can put a dollar amount on in a way, shape, or form. Okay? Even if, I mean, you certainly want to say, hey, if you get me a client, I'll cut your grass. Even that would have a dollar sign attached to it in one way or another. And so anything is... that's an incentive, I think, would be more monetarily aspected. What do you think, Cal?
Well, I don't do any of that. I think that's something that has to be handled very, very carefully. I can't think of any time that we've ever really done that where we've offered clients incentives. Not that it can't be done right. I know when I bought my car recently, someone asked me, where'd you get the car? And I said, hey, I got it at such and such. Go see this guy there. He's really good. And then I got like a $100 gift certificate for going out and having something to eat. And I just don't know if that's really appropriate. So my mind's not made up on that. What do you got for me there, Elwan?
Well, first off, I want to know why. Why not?
Well, because I think you can kind of cheapen yourself and look unprofessional if not done properly. I think that, and I know that my training in psychology, that kind of thing was forbidden because we want people to refer to us from the pure mindset of, I believe this is going to help my friend, my family member, not that I'm going to get a pizza or I'm going to get a discount on my sessions. It really causes some conflict of interest, I think.
Okay. I can buy that. You want to hear my two cents?
Well, I do. I mean, I think, like, I've carefully phrased that, you know, it needs to be done if there is a right way to do it. It needs to be done in a very professional, not car lot kind of way.
I like the way that you sound kind of gray on it. You know, you don't sound black or white. And I'm similar in my opinion of that, kind of gray on it. I mean, it's on a case-by-case basis. But me personally, I lean a little bit more toward, yeah, it's okay to incentivize, but it depends on how it's done. And let me tell you, I've heard it all. You know, I have other colleagues that incentivize referrals. They say, well, if you I just want to let you know, if you really enjoy this process and you're benefiting from it, if you know anybody else who needs these kind of services, for every two referrals you give me, I give you a free session. And it's just my way of saying thank you and, making it a win-win for everyone involved. You can do that. And like you said, you know, you do want to be careful that you're not devaluing yourself like that. You can say other things like, well, listen, I think that books are really important, so for every referral you give me, I'm going to give you a $25 gift certificate to a bookstore. I haven't done that personally. I know people that do that. I know there's a lot of marketing hypnotists out there that advocate that like, well, you know, for every referral you give me, you get a free gift or whatever. I think that can come across differently if it's in print than if you say it verbally, like the whole thing of a free gift. If you say that verbally to somebody, in my opinion, that's going to come off as kind of cheesy and is going to devalue your services. So it's like you said, Kale, I mean, I think it's something that needs to be handled with a lot of tact. I do know that if they have some type of reason to refer you, it's going to make you more easily on the top of their mind. Because even if you did the best job in the world, their whole life has changed, people just have a tendency to forget. But I think that an alternative way to do that would be to call them and check up on them regularly just to see how they're doing. And that way you remind them just as well. And simply to let them know without an incentive that you get a lot of referrals, your business depends on referrals. And the incentive that I like to use that I think is important is instead of business norms, I like to use social norms. Because people will refer for money, but they'll also refer if they feel like they're being a good person for doing that, or if they feel like they're gaining some type of a prestige or some type of a social benefit. And so I sometimes, in the past, I said, hey, listen, you know, if you have anyone in your family or who's close to you who you really think could benefit from my services, I want to let you know that I'll give them a discount on your behalf.
So now they get the person they referred gets a discount. Wouldn't that make them feel bad that they didn't get the discount?
But it's a discount on their behalf. You see? And so there's something too. You say, listen, I know this great hypnotherapist, and you know what? I can get you a discount. Tell them that I sent you. There's something to that. Of course, it depends on what type of income bracket that you're working with. That all depends. I mean, if you're working with somebody who you know is a penny pincher that just scraped the money together just to see you, you might not want to do that. But, I mean, it depends on how big the discount is.
I got an idea. What about when they're hypnotized? You tell them that they're going to refer lots of people to you, and every time they do, they're going to feel great.
Why don't we just, you know, send them with a little one-way radio? Like, hey, you know, talk to people.
Yeah. I'm not crazy about this whole incentivizing
thing.
Put
that into the thing. But, yeah, I mean, it gets awfully gray. It has to be done in print, I think, rather than verbally. It just depends. It depends on what kind of people you're working with, what kind of income bracket you're working with. I agree with you, though, that it's different than like a chiropractor incentivizing their services or a doctor. Maybe they can do that and offer that because it's
See, now, I've never had a doctor, a medical doctor, incentivize services. I would feel like the guy was kind of desperate or the gal was kind of desperate if they did that.
It depends on what their success story is. There's chiropractors that I've known and that I've seen who have done that. But it's more of a physically oriented, objective approach that doesn't really have to depend on the mental and emotional involvement of the client who's coming. Okay, I mean, you know, you go in there, you get your back cracked, this and that. Whatever your mental attitude about it is one thing. Okay, you go in there, you get your shot. Okay, but having a personal breakthrough, dealing with things that have a strong emotional component, having to want to change, is going to have an impact, and so I think it needs to be handled differently.
Okay, I think we've said what we need to say. Let me do say one thing about this, though. When I was talking about giving someone a hypnotic suggestion to refer people, just kidding. Just kidding. Some people don't. They don't get it when we joke.
Yeah, I know. Maybe that's because I joked with too much of a straight face in the past. I'm trying to smile more.
That's right. I heard that you want to end all stage hypnotism.
And I never said that. Those words never came out of my mouth. Let's set the record straight on this, all right? I heard that, by the way. I heard the words come out of your mouth, other people's mouth, and the words, let's get rid of all the stage hypnotists, never came out of L. Ron Ferguson's mouth. In fact, the way that I said my closing remarks on that particular podcast were somewhere along the lines of, yeah, well, you know, I mean, stage hypnosis is a good thing, but, and I didn't quantify it correctly. I go, but there's a lot of them that just aren't doing a good job, and da-da-da. I should have said some. And I do recall agreeing with you when you pointed out the fact that it's always the 0.1 of 1% that screws it up for everybody. And I concurred with that in saying, yeah, there's always a few bad apples that mess up the whole bunch. And so if I could rescind what I said before and rephrase it now, currently I'd say, let's get rid of all the stage hypnotists that do bad stage hypnosis. Let's get rid of all of them. And leave all the rest of the ones who do a great job and excite our imaginations. Like I said,
so you want to live in a world where we could have the stage hypnotist judge going around and zapping away all the stage hypnotists that they don't like?
I'll do it. I'll put them in handcuffs right there.
Oh,
baby.
You're the hypno cop.
No, but like I'm a huge fan of Darren Brown, huge, and I'm a huge fan of good stage hypnotism. I mean, you know, just like Orman McGill, stuff like that. It awakens the mystical root of within the human being to see fantastic stage hypnotism done. So now the record is straight. Do you want to add anything to that, Cal?
I thought I would just give you the opportunity to, you know, say something about that.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Actually, I appreciate that. I would have forgotten unless you mentioned it, so thank you. Let's talk about the next topic.
Okay.
Okay, so we kind of killed two birds with one stone on that last one. We talked about more than I thought that we would. How about this? Should hypnotists perform smoking cessation hypnosis if they still smoke themselves? What do you think of that?
I think they should.
Tell me about it.
Well.
Why?
Because, you know, you don't have to have had a broken leg to know how to help someone that has a broken leg. There, you don't have to have had brain surgery to be a good brain surgeon. Someone could be very good at smoking cessation and help hundreds, if not thousands, of people, but not really have the desire to quit smoking themselves. And so continue to smoke. And take, for example, my mother. Now, she's not a hypnotist, but she smokes. And for her, as crazy as this sounds to most people, it's a quality of life decision. For her, smoking adds a lot. When I smoked, I can kind of understand a little bit of this. When I was smoking cigarettes, I loved smoking cigarettes. I get up in the morning, I have 6 cigarettes before I even went to work. I mean, I loved them. And so I probably got that gene. But my mom, she still smokes, you know, and she has no desire to quit. and if she became a hypnotist and she did stop smoking, and if she could help other people who wanted to stop smoking, I'd say the more power to her. What do you think of that? I mean, she's got a little oxygen thing that goes around her, you know, the upper nose and around her ears that she wears at night and stuff like that, and she's smoking. I mean, she does that.
Hey, man, I I had a client a while ago came in my office for smoking cessation, and he said, "Listen, I mean, if I die 15 years younger because of all this smoking, to me it's a great trade, because I could have never been as successful if I hadn't have been a smoker when I was having my business in my 30s and 40s and 50s. And he goes, and besides, there's a lot of, you know, people in Asia, they have longer lives than we do, and they smoke. And I just looked at him, I said, you know, it's funny how people can come up for reasons for things when the subconscious mind doesn't want to change. He goes, yeah, I know, that's all ridiculous, isn't it? But
okay, yeah, so I mean, what do you think?
It's two things in life. You can either talk yourself into something, you can talk yourself out of something.
Whether you think you can or you can't, you're right.
Exactly, like Henry Ford said,
that's right?
That's right. And, I mean, I agree with you. I would add some stipulations to that. And first, let me just add my two cents. I mean, yeah, smoking. I smoked for a long time. I don't smoke anymore. I quit and then try it again, and quit and then try it again. And yeah, it's just one of those quality of life choices that you want to. I think the stipulation that I want to add is be an example for your client. I mean, I can just imagine if you're like smoking like a chimney, you obviously can't smell like smoke during the session. I don't think that's
going to
really...
Why not? Smokers can't
smell it. I don't think that's
going
to rub off on your client. Well, are you kidding me?
Even smokers don't. They don't smell that stuff.
There you are. You're having a cigarette out back. You know, you go, oh, wait, my client's here. Ah, damn, smokers. I got to deal with them every week. What, haven't you quit yet? Come on. Don't you know it's bad for you? I mean, I don't think you should smell like smoke if you're going to do smoking cessation.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
I mean, come on. Let's just use our common sense here. That's going to affect your results, and I shouldn't have to explain why. Just because of, I mean, we always say don't judge a book by its cover, but subconsciously they're going to have their red flags going out. They're going to be thinking, God, this person helps people like me quit smoking, and he hasn't used it on himself. This is a scam. Okay, now I can understand if you really feel the need, do your sessions and on your way to your car, pull out a cigarette and smoke all the way home. Maybe that's fine, because it's like Cal said, you're running people through a process. Obviously, you want to be congruent with what's in your own heart when you're saying to that person, repeat after me as I say it out loud, I am now a non-smoker, and I'm going to be a non-smoker for the rest of my life. And doing direct drive on that. If you feel that inside, then that is going to transfer over to your client. And I'll get a little woo-woo here. I'll say energetically that's going to carry over in your amount of conviction and internal belief that you have in that statement. Those things are going to match up in the invisible world and carry over. But if you can compartmentalize it correctly, then I say absolutely. Smoke. And see clients for smoking cessation as long as you know within your mind what you're smoking for and what smoking is all about, and that you can help them be on the right line and be so that they can be quitting for the right reasons, and you are thoroughly involved in that process and you know what the right reasons are to smoke. Because let's be honest, smoking is a completely irrational behavior. It's completely non-rational. I mean, The pros and cons to smoking cessation, I mean, it kills you, all this other kind of stuff, but the pros is, well, one time a long, long time ago it made me feel better, and so it still makes me feel better. But people who don't smoke on average are national statistics prove people who don't smoke are less stressed and more calm than people that do smoke. Which is kind of ironic now, isn't it?
That's a correlational study. It's not cause and effect. It could just be that people are more calm, don't smoke.
Nicotine is a stimulant. Come on. I'll get the statistics and I'll get you with that, Cal.
But it's still correlational. It's not cause and effect. Okay, let me ask you this. What if the hypnotherapist was a person who once in a while they have a cigarette when they're out with their buddies? Would that person still be a good... hypnotherapist to work with people? Would they be incongruent?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, once again, it goes back to what you said. You don't have to be perfect to, you don't have to be an expert on you know, brain tumor. You know, you don't have to have survived cancer, survived a brain tumor to help somebody through that process. I mean, the whole reason we go and we learn things and get trained to handle drug addicts and all this other kind of stuff is because other people have gone through those experiences, so we don't have to. So we don't have to help somebody be free of an issue because we've gone through the personal journey of that. The personal journey component is very powerful in helping somebody overcoming the issue of heartbreak, smoking cessation, and procrastination. But that's why we go somewhere else to get trained in that thing, so that we can use the information that came from hundreds and thousands of people that have gone through that stuff, and the information gleaned from that, and take it and use it to help this person succeed.
Ooh, doggy. Hey, how much time we got left?
I think we're done. Haven't you been timing it, Cal?
Yes, I have been.
Well, my internal clock says that we are out of time. And let's just say, real briefly, what do you think about clients who are obese who see people for weight loss?
Nope, that's going to have to wait for next episode. Because our time is up.
All right. Wrap it up, Cal.
All right. Hey, you got to check out hypnosiscenter.com. I've got a class coming up July 11th. That's the NJH-approved Banyan Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy Certification Super Course with 5-Path and 7-Path. And we also have coming up May 15th, the Week of Power. The Week of Power is our advanced hypnosis course for people who've been certified by someone else somewhere else. Come to our center. And hey, you know what? If you can't make it out to our center, we also have it live online. We've got the internet plugged right into our classroom. You can be a part of it no matter where you are, as long as you have a good internet connection. We'll help you check that out. All right. Also go to hypnosis.org. I got some free videos there on how to do rapid inductions. And I think that's about enough. You want to say anything else?
Put a fork in me. I'm done, Cal.
What's your website?
My website is safeeffectivehypnosis.com.
What's your email?
Is lronhypnosis@gmail.com. That's lron, double N, just how you spell my name, the word hypnosis, @gmail.com. Of course, it's printed underneath as I say that, but, you know, I thought I'd be extra thorough there.
All right, Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.